Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2007 Youth Education Conference held at Southern Virginia University.
Hey, you guys, I'd like to start by telling a story. Is that okay? When I say story, this is why I want you to respond. I want you to go like this, because I'm kind of one of those people that wishes there were theme music with everything. And so if you just do this for me, it would be really helpful. If whenever I say I'm going to tell a story, I want you to respond with, what's the appropriate response? Dun, dun, dun. So if you just give me like a little dun, 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 that'd be really good. So I'm going to say story, and you'd say?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Because isn't that fun, sort of? Like, it's really cool when you're standing up here and you're like, I'd like to begin with a story.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, there once was a story of a businessman. This businessman was well known. In fact, if I told you his name, you'd remember it. And he was invited to speak at a major university, probably much larger than this even. They had a large auditorium full of people waiting his arrival. He was in a restaurant being wined and dined by the president. He was given the five-star treatment, limousine from the hotel, all of the good things that go along with being being of his stature in the business world. And in fact, the story goes, it's so cool. The story goes, the history tells that the president, right before he goes to speak, the president hands him a check with five numbers on it. It was a big check. That's how much he got paid to speak for about an hour. That's a pretty good hourly rate. Well, as he walks into this large auditorium, he walks up to the podium. He walks up to the podium and he goes like this. He looks out into the audience and he says something like, "Hi, how are you? What's your name?"
Good. Morgan and Kaylee.
Morgan and Kaylee. How are you doing, Morgan and Kaylee? And what he said was, "How are you doing, Morgan and Kaylee?" And then after that, he said, "I'd like to see, by raise of hands before I begin, I'd like to see the number of people in the room planning on changing the world. Would you please raise your hands if you're planning on changing the world?" And unlike this room, he saw about five or six hands raised. And he looked around, and as he asked again, "No, really, I want to see that by raise of hands, how many of you are planning to change the world?" Again, just a handful of hands that you could see in the crowd. And he said, "Those of you who have your hands raised, I'd like to go ahead and invite you down on stage." He turns around. He kicks a bunch of dignitaries off the stage and said, I don't know where they went to sit. Come on in. Oh, no. Okay. Kicks a bunch of dignitaries off the stage and invites those, shakes their six people's hands, sits them down on the stage and sits down with them and begins to talk to them. Well, 1 minute wears on into two and three, and 3 minutes as a public speaker when you're not speaking is a long, long time. And sure enough, the crowd begins to get a little noisy. Like when I was doing names, it gets a little noisy, not anything bad. And sure enough, he walks back up to the podium and he goes like this. Excuse me. I'm trying to teach a seminar to the leaders of the 21st century. If you won't be quiet, could you please be quiet? I'd really appreciate it. And they got quiet and he went and sat back down. Well, again, how long does that last? It doesn't last very long, right? It gets noisy again. And so he walks back up again to the podium, puts his hands down and says, "Excuse me, I thought I told you that I was teaching a seminar to the leaders of the 21st century. If you can't be quiet, will you please leave?" And he sits back down, right? And he begins to talk. Well, when the president, who's seated on the stand, he wasn't one of the dignitaries that got kicked off. When the president was seated on the stand, he eventually stands up, walks over to the group, looks into and begins to kind of, you know, listen in. This man turned to the president, looked him straight in the eyes, and said, "Did you raise your hand?" So before we begin, I have a question for you. You get the idea. Here's the problem, and I'm going to be pretty bold with you today because I think you can be bold. I mean, I think I can be bold with you. I don't think you necessarily need to be treated like children. I think I can be just straightforward with you. Here's the problem. In an auditorium full of young people, only six or seven, a handful, were audacious enough or dream or wistful enough or had big enough dreams that they thought their dreams would change the world in a very real way. Only a handful. Now, why is that a problem? Because your age, like in between 12 and maybe 30 years old, that's the time where you're supposed to be the biggest dreamers. That's the time where you're supposed to be dreaming like enormously. You should be thinking, yeah, and I'm not only going to change this world, I'm going to change Mars too. And even though Pluto's not a planet anymore, bring it on, you know? You should be thinking that big. You should be thinking in enormous ways, and for some reason, your generation's missing that. And it's really a big concern. It's a big concern to me. It should be a big concern to a lot of other people. How many of you have big dreams, world-changing dreams? Awesome, man. It's like, let me go to the next page of my notes, right? No, but it's a really, really important. It's really important that we need to learn big, because otherwise we have these two groups of youth, these two groups of young people. I call them the deer in the headlights group and the doctor lawyer group. And something like this would happen. Walk into any high school across America, and you'll find that this is fairly consistent, that you say something like this. You'll go up to a 16-year-old. How old are you?
13.
You look much older. All right. You walk up and you say, excuse me, how are you doing? Sorry to interrupt you while you're going to your locker. But I'm wondering if I could ask you a question. They look funny at you and like stick their tongue out or something. This is the deer in the headlights group. And then you say, so what are your plans? You know, what are you planning on doing after you graduate? Go to college. Cool. What then? And this is where the deer in the headlights happens. They kind of look at you like, but they don't know. And if you go, so you don't know what your dreams are? Just tell me one of the things. You don't have to tell me what for sure you're going to do. Just one of the plans. I was going to, after I graduated, I was going to go to Las Vegas. It's like, that's all they got. And it's so sad. At least they should be able to say, well, I'm kind of thinking, or I have this kind of dream, or I really would hope to, right? And some people are like feeling guilty and glazing over because they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not deer in the headlights, right? The second group may be worse than the first. The second group may be worse than the first, and they're what I call the doctor-lawyer group. And the doctor-lawyer group, it goes something like this. Same question, sorry to interrupt you if you're going to your locker. I think I'd like to ask a question. The response comes back something like this. Well, actually, thanks for asking. That's a very good question. I will choose to field that one. I'm actually planning on graduating Harvard magna cum laude with my degree in philosophical science of doctorates. You know, some really fancy thing, right? Probably a specialty in neuroscience, mechanical engineering, and, rocket science, you know. Something like that, you know, give or take, right? Well, here's the trouble with that group. The trouble with that group is because they bought into that enough that they believe that that's what they're supposed to say when adults ask them that question, and they've got away with it for a long time, that if you ask them that question, they respond that way, the adults go like this. Wow, good job, all right, yeah, that's my boy, all right, you know? And then you ask them a follow-up question. Now, this is important. You ask them the follow-up question. The follow-up question goes something like this. Excuse me, can I ask you just one follow-up question? Absolutely. Why? Why do you want to do that thing? Well, I'm very good at science, you see. I say, well, but why do you want to do that thing? And then goes what happens. They're dead in the headlights, right? They're like, they don't know. They don't know why they want to do that thing. And so we have a problem. You see, they're not dreaming big either. And if it is a big dream, they'll know why. If it is a big dream, they'll know why. But if they don't know that why, then it's not a big dream either. And so today I want to talk about dreaming, okay? I want to talk about having a big dream, at least for the first part of what I'm going to do, what I'm going to talk about, is I want to talk about dreaming. And I want to talk about having big dreams. All right? Is that okay? Is that worth hearing? Is that going to glaze you over? You're going to be like sleeping in the back row? Okay, good. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to be a dreamer, and I'm going to ask you to create your own dream. But before I do that, I want to qualify it. Now, I realize that when you're dreaming, there really shouldn't be any qualifications or requirements or restrictions. So if you don't like these, toss them out. But let me give you a few just to start with. Number one, when you're about to dream, when you're dreaming, it needs to be a big dream. It can't be like, well, you know, I've been looking at this Xbox 360, like mega, and I'm sort of thinking that is my big dream. I'm going to be Halo 18 champion, number 4, you know? No, that's not what I mean. It's got to be a big dream, okay? It's got to be huge. Second requirement, it has to be good. Just for our purposes today, this is an LDS conference. No, like, I want to blow up the world or... You know, I know for a few of you, like, Randy's over here like, shoot, cross that one off, dang it, right? Okay, so it has to be a good dream. In other words, it has to be wholesome, it has to be light-filled, it has to be true, it has to be helpful, it has to be serviceable. Now, no, I take that back. It doesn't have to be, but if you have dreams that are other than good, I'm recommending a different conference for you, okay? Third, the more specific the dream, the better. So, for example, I know one girl at the last conference that I taught. She said, "I want to cure cancer." I was like, "That's a pretty dang good dream. That's pretty big." So I asked her to be specific. In other words, all right, now tell me when. I want to cure cancer in 15 years. How? I want to use a nonprofit organization. I mean, so be really specific in what you're doing. The more specific, the better, as far as your dream's concerned. All right, is everyone ready? Put on your dreaming caps. Only at a homeschool conference. Yeah, at a home education conference, you have kids go, all right, I've got one of those. All right. Thanks for bringing yours with you. All right, I'm going to give you about 5 minutes. Maybe more, maybe less, depending on what we need. But it take about 5 minutes. And you all have paper in the packets that they gave you when you registered. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to draw, outline, bullet point, however you want to communicate it. I want you to somehow communicate visually your dream on paper. So get a fresh piece of paper out. You know, turn the page. And I want you to do it. And I need everyone to participate. I guess you don't have to participate if you don't want to. Whatever you want to do. But I'm recommending you participate, and I want you to dream big. Like, big. Bigger the better. And more specific the better. And it has to be, or recommended to be good. Dominic. No. Do you? If somebody needs a pen, pass them around. You have 5 minutes starting now. Go. Traditionally, you guys were the best at this. Traditionally, this is easy for you. You know, you're supposed to be the generation that sits out and like stares at the clouds and like dreams. So, so spend some time. Take some time. Make an awesome dream happen on your page.
I thought of that.
It may be a little late to be the first woman president by the time she's old enough. Why? Oh, meaning the president of the United States. You're right, though. There have been other women presidents across the world. How's the big dream coming? By the way, for some reason, boys really struggle with this more than girls a little bit, like from my experience. So take some time. Dream big. Just whatever. It doesn't have to be true. All right. Everyone freeze. I'm realizing that I forgot to teach you something. Everyone freeze. That was a good freeze. Somebody's like, hey, let me tell you the difference between dream and vision. Okay, there's a difference between dream and vision. Let me tell you the difference. It's a key difference. Dreaming Dreaming is something that you wish for, something that's imaginary. So if I have a dream, I'm like, man, I would have a dream that someday, this is one of my dreams, by the way, that someday I would be able to buy a large sailboat. With that large sailboat, I would take my family, and we'd do homeschooling for a while, and I would just get on. I don't know if you call it homeschooling if you're on a boat, boat schooling. We get on the boat and on this large sailboat, and I'd pull out a map of the world with my kids, and we would go. I'd go, point, right? And they would go, and I'm like, no, point somewhere coastal. Okay, right? And then we would go sailing there, and we would study about that place as we went. And on our sailboat, we'd pull out the books, and we'd sit, and they'd be my little crew, and I'd be like, 3-year-old, hoist the mainsail. You know, that'd be awesome, huh? You know, and so that would be one of my dreams. Now, what's the difference between that and one of my visions? Is that dream isn't necessarily something I'm planning on working towards. It's just kind of like something that would be cool, something that kind of like I could see being cool in the future. A vision is something I'm working toward planning on. You know, so my vision is that someday I will be able to speak and teach in front of large audiences and be able to have impact in large groups, right? And so that's vision that I'm planning on working toward. And that my dream is just something out there. So just dream. It doesn't need to be something you're working on planning on. If it is, then it's called vision, and that's good too. So you can do either one. So if you're having trouble with dreaming because you're like, I'm not really planning on that or working on it, that's okay. It doesn't matter if that's something you're not bound by your dream. You're bound by your vision and not by your dream. So good luck. Dream away. All right. I need like 4 or 5 people to come and share their visions. But it has to be big. All right, one. And, Micah? No. What's your name? No, tell me your name again. Micah. Yeah, come on up. Thomas. Randy and Catherine? Christine. Okay. Come on up. We're just going to take those people I've already asked, and we're going to spend some time looking at the dreams. Now, everyone, pay close attention, because I'm going to be hopefully teaching a couple of things as we go along. Right on. Okay, and we're going to talk into the little recorder here so that our folks at home can hear us. All right. Thomas, we're going to start with you. Ready? So stand up here. Everyone say hello, Thomas. Okay, here you go.
Be an entomologist for the state of Utah.
Now, hang on. For those in the audience who don't know, what's an entomologist?
Person that studies bugs.
Yeah.
Or get a scholarship to BYU for golf and beat Tiger Woods.
Beat Tiger Woods in golf. You are dreaming, aren't you? I'm kidding. No, that's awesome. Question. We'll talk about now let me teach you about I'm just gonna pause for a second. You guys hang out for just a minute. I want to teach you something about motivation. Can I? Okay, so this is about motivation. If you have notes, take notes. Motivation, when we're dreaming, something that can help us be motivated is this. Mathematically, if I am motivated or trying to get something for myself, how high is my motivation?
Pretty high.
No one knows. I'll tell you. Motivation. Can everyone see? Maybe Doug down in front. One of the things that if when you're motivated by love, which I hope that we are, being motivated by love, motivation. The motivation quotient looks something like this. Motivation equals the people, number of people that I love by the amount I love them. Pretty simple, right? So if I love myself, depends on how much I love myself, depending on how motivated I am to do something. But how much more powerful is it when we're motivated by thousands or millions? Or if I'm a family, if I'm a mom, which I'm not, and I'm motivated by my family, by my children, Am I more or less motivated if I'm only motivated by 5 children or if I'm motivated by my grandchildren as well? More motivated or less motivated when I add my grandchildren to it?
More.
More motivated or less motivated when I add my great-grandchildren to it? Right? And so the more individuals, the more people that are a part of that, the more we're able to love, the more we're able to feel motivation for love. And so as you're thinking about vision and dreaming, one of the things you can think about is how many people and who do I love and how many people are affected by that, will be affected by that thing. And so if I'm trying to change, affect everyone in the world, how many people is that?
A
lot. Then my motivation can be very high because my love, and especially if I love them, and the more that I love them, the more motivation I have to influence or affect them. Cool. All right. Thank you, Thomas. You can sit down. Give Thomas a round of applause. All right. Who's next? Micah.
Here we go.
Recording. Awesome. All right. Well, am I speaking to this?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, my name is Micah Clements, and dream one, I'd like to write novels and have them published.
Bestsellers?
Yeah, we're talking like Da Vinci Code killers. So, yeah, that was kind of what I was hoping. I'd like to write screenplays and direct them because I don't want directors messing with my movies. And I'd like to write TV show scripts. And on that note, I'd like to save the cheerleader and save the world. And I'd also like to write video game scripts, but you didn't hear that. So, that was not joking. And one of those far-off things, I'd like to act professionally either on Broadway or movies, but yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a general thing. But I didn't write this down, but one of the reasons why doing this is actually going to be influential is because I'd like to actually help the people of Africa in the process, because people who are famous and have influence actually can have influence. That's why people like Bono can actually, do things for Africa, because he is famous. So I'd like to do that too.
Cool. Yeah. Round of applause. Did you notice when he said this? He said something really important. He has all these great things he wants to do. And those are really big dreams, publishing and professional acting. And those are pretty big dreams. That's cool. That's good dreams. Notice one thing he did at the end. He said, now that I've said all of those things, let me add why. For what purpose? For what end? And he said, I want to help people. And do you notice how different those things that he was doing? Like, you wouldn't have guessed that from the original things, that was what he was hoping to accomplish, right? And so it's really important. So often we could ask the question when we're dreaming, and then what? Right? I would ask Micah, hey, Micah, that's awesome. You've done all those things, those 5 things on your list. And then what? And then what? And then what? And then what? Until hopefully we're saying, until all of our goals eventually merge into one, right? What would the one be? All of our dreams should eventually merge into one. If we ask and then what enough, what is it? Yeah. Go to heaven. And then what? And then what? And then what? And then help the people in Africa, and then help them to get to heaven too, right? Awesome. Randy, come on up. Let's hear it, Randy. Dream big.
I would like to find a cause and a cure for cerebral palsy.
I thought you were dreaming big. I'm kidding. That is big. That's huge. Tell me why.
I have a little brother with cerebral palsy. And I think it's just sad because they can't do anything, really. They can't fend for themselves or anything. And so I'm thinking if I can find a cause for cerebral palsy, I can find a way to fix it.
Can you imagine? Are you dreaming with me for a minute? Can you imagine you're like, hey, look, honey, in the newspaper. This is like when you have a honey. Look, honey, in the newspaper, there's this guy named, what's your last name?
Chambers.
Randy Chambers. Wait a second. Man, I have this memory of like this conference we went to. And millions, generations of people. And notice, how high is his motivation level? Pretty high. Why? Because there are lots of people, and especially when the one person he loves a ton, right? You love your brother a little bit? Good. The motivation level gets higher the more we add that element of love. Good dream. Go. Give him a round of applause.
I'm Kaylee Simmons. My dream is to, after I graduate from BYU, become a genetic engineer and genetically change the banana and the apple and put them as one and make a banapple tree.
To make a banapple tree. I have no comment for that. Cool.
I love bananas. I love bananas.
Thank you. All right, round of applause.
I can do a picture. But,
Okay, I'll demonstrate.
Okay. My dream is to become a director and make good, fun, wholesome movies because there are a lot of good movies out there, but they add in, like, the teeny little stuff in there that just ruins it. So I think it'd be great to, like, make movies that people can go and enjoy and just leave, and it'll affect a lot of people and my example and be like, okay, why is she like that?
Are you going to make movies for your family or for a bigger group?
Like, it could be Hollywood.
Could be Hollywood.
I don't
awesome.
Know, just big.
Big. Awesome. Thank you. Hey, listen, you guys. Thanks for dreaming with me for a minute. Here's the thing. Why does it matter that we dream? Does it? Why? Let me hear some hands. Katie.
Because if we don't dream, then we'll never achieve.
If we don't dream, then we'll never achieve. Cool comment.
Yeah, every great thing that anyone's ever done must have started in their head as a dream sometime. You know, you think, like, Christopher Columbus just woke up and was like, hey, I think I want to go to America. No, he's probably dreaming about that and trying to think about, you know, how we do it and going to find something.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because let me add a little bit deeper level here. And I hope some of you will really follow this and some people maybe won't. Where'd my marker go?
Check your pocket.
Oh, sweet. All right. Let me add a deeper level to this. Deeper level. There's a concept that's called spiritual creation. Spiritual creation, right? That before it's created, something's created physically, it's created spiritually. Another way of saying that is this. Thoughts. You've heard this before, right? Thoughts lead to?
Actions.
Actions lead to?
Jail.
Actions lead to habits. Habits lead to destiny. If jail is your destiny, then yes. Right? That in our minds is where it begins. And shaping desires, right, can shape our actions. And shaping our actions shape our destiny. And so the reason I recommend that you dream big and dream often is because as you do, the bigger your dreams, the more likely that you'll be able to accomplish those. The more likely you'll have actions that meet those dreams, right? Let me tell you some people who will kind of go against your dreams or not, some reasons why dreams aren't followed. How many people do you know that are living a big dream? Do you? Who?
Me.
Awesome. Dominic. That's like one of those questions, how many people are going to change the world? And Dominic's like, I'm living my big dream, right? Good job. Here's some of the reasons why. The first group that are anti-dreaming is a group I call the realists. The realists. The realists are anti-dreamers. Why? Why? So, because they're like, it's unrealistic. You want to cure cerebral palsy? Well, who are you? That's line number one. Line number one is, who are you? They say, who are you to change the world in that way? Right? You're from like Rixieville. Right? Who are you to change the world? Can any good thing come out of Rixieville? He's like, I'm from Rixieville. Actually, yes. Does that make sense? So often we look at ourselves, we look in the mirror, and we say, great things will happen, but not by me. Great things will happen, but not from here. Great things will happen, but it won't be from a homeschooler. Great things will happen, but it won't be. And we make all these lists of reasons why we won't be the ones doing great things. Right? And do you know what's wrong with that? There's a woman by the name of Marianne Williamson. Does anyone know the quote? The quote goes like this. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be wonderful, fabulous, glorious? Actually, she says, who are you not to be? We are all children of God, born to make manifest the glory of God that is in us. That is not just in some of us. It's in everyone. I thought in the LDS faith that there was a belief called, I am a child of God. Is that true? Do we believe that? Not if that's something that we kind of buy into. Yeah. Why? What does that teach us about our dreams? That we can dream pretty dang big. Because in you is genius. Even Jillian. Especially Jillian. Right? We can dream big because in us is genius. One wise man once said, he said, build your castles in the clouds because that's where they belong. And then build foundations under them. So we've talked about dreaming and building our castles in the clouds, right? Hey, by the way, repeat after me because I want you to get this. Build your castles in the clouds.
Build your castles in the clouds.
Because that's where they belong.
But build foundations under them.
Right?
Yes.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting. All right. So, let's talk about building a foundation under your dream, because it's not just about dreaming. The realists have one thing right. The realists said you have to work hard and you have to do stuff to make those dreams come true. It's true. You do. You have to build a foundation under the dream. And let's talk about what building a foundation under the dream might look like. The first step to building a foundation under your dream is owning your own life. What I call this is I call it becoming an adult. Now, I know that the word adult can sometimes be a little intimidating. And a little bit that can cause some angry feelings, but let me define adult for you. In history past, there have been these rites of passage ceremonies. Just a minute, there have been rites of passage ceremony where young people would transition into adulthood, where all of a sudden, once they did the thing, once they went through the rite of passage, they then were adults and they were treated as adults. For example. In some tribes in Africa, the rite of passage ceremony for young men is that they will be given a spear and they have to go track, hunt, and kill a lion. And once you've done that, once you've conquered that feat, then you can be a man. Now, if you don't come back alive, you probably didn't deserve to be a man in the first place, is the thought, right?
Oh my gosh.
And so they give them the spear and they send them out into the wilderness. Can you imagine? I'm like... Hey, Dominic, here's your spear. Good luck. Right? Let me define adult this way. By the way, do we have rites of passage in our communities, in our culture? Name one.
College.
Maybe. Now, all right, like in the mission, to go on a two-year mission and to come back, then they say, well, now you're an adult.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you something. When have you ever met a person who came back from mission that's still a child?
Yep.
Yeah. Have you ever met a person who graduated from college that was still a child?
Yeah.
Plenty of those, right? Let me define adulthood this way. Adulthood is, ready? Adulthood is taking full responsibility for all of your actions, all of the time. Ready? Taking full responsibility for all of your actions, all of the time. In other words, if you're involved in something, if you're making choices, then they're your choices, right? You're fully responsible to feed yourself, to clothe yourself, to stay out of jail, whatever it happens to be, right? You're responsible for all of your choices all the time is one of the definitions of adulthood. Maybe there are more, maybe there are better ones. But that's one definition of adulthood. Now here's the kicker. You get to choose, according to that definition, when you become an adult. A young adult perhaps, but when you choose to become a young adult. You get to choose. One day you just say, all right, I'm going to take full responsibility for all my actions all the time, and I am now an adult. And as long as you do that, I think you are. Let me give you an example. Now, there's one little problem with that definition. The problem is that once you have made that choice and taken that step, sometimes you're still treated as children. Has anyone in this room ever been treated like a child? Better all raise your hand because you were all children at one point, right? Yeah, and sometimes you are, and sometimes you still are. And now I want to speak, I want to recommend something to those who would choose to be adults. There's a principle I like to call the extra mile principle. And the way the extra mile principle works is something like this. Do you remember the story, right? Everyone remembers the story, right? In Christ times with the extra mile, that basically we had... Silly. With the extra mile, we had those who the Romans would be able to force a Jew to walk a mile with their load, right? And Christ said, well, instead of going 1 mile, go two. In fact, go the extra mile when they ask you. Now, why would he say that? Because what happens when, right, so I'm the Jew. Hey, carry my stuff. And I'm like, all right, pick up the stuff. And I'm walking along. And I get to the end of the mile. I don't know how they counted it, if it was a number of steps or whatever. But they got to the end of the mile. And you kind of look back at the Roman. And you go. Right? And you move forward. And why? What changed when you took that next step? You were free. You were no longer being forced to do the thing. Now, ideally, the Jew doesn't do it so that he can go, neener, neener, Roman, right? That's not why he ideally does it. Ideally, he does it out of love and out of service. But when he takes that next step, he becomes free. He's a free man. He no longer is under the direction or under the dominion of the Roman. Did you have a comment, Mariah? Oh, right. So you're saying that, like, here's the Roman's house, and they're like, all right, carried it the mile, and they just run away? I don't think that was the message, was it? That wasn't the message. Now, try this for me. So often, many of you are under dominion. Or in other words, you have people that are telling you what to do every once in a while, right? Whether it be teachers or mom or dad or aunt or uncle or whoever. Try this principle for me. Try the extra mile principle on your family, on your parents, or on your school teachers. In fact, I had a girl who came to me one time. She said, "Mr. Ralphs, how do I get a great leadership education? I'm going to the public school right now, and I think that's where I should be. And I'm just wondering how I get this leadership Thomas Jefferson education there." And I said, "You really want to know?" And she said, "Yes, I really want to know." I said, "No, do you really want to know?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Okay, come here." And we did a little huddle. I said, "This is what you do. when you get to your first day of classes, I want you to walk into your teachers and say something like this. Hi, my name is Hannah, since we have a lot of Hannahs. My name's Hannah, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm really, really excited to be studying biology this year. In fact, anything I can do to learn more biology than less, I'm for it. In fact, what I'd like to do is I'd love it if you could give me all of the assignments for the year, or at least for the semester to start off the class, so I can get through that material really quickly, and I can move into the really fun stuff. Would that be okay if I did all the assignments early? She actually went and did it with all of her teachers. This is the response of the teacher. She emailed me back and she said, "Miss Rouse, this is what I did, and I have a problem," because this is what they said. They said, "Well, we really don't plan that far in advance. I don't know that maybe we could give you the assignments for the week, but I don't know that I can really give them to you for the semester." She emails me back. I say, "This is what you say now. Now, what you do is you go to the teacher and say, 'That's fine that you don't have the assignments prepared. I understand that. No one would ever expect you to. But if it's all right, I'm going to go and take the books that you've assigned. I'm going to read those books and submit assignments based on what I've read. And I'll make sure that they're much harder than anything else, anything you would have assigned. Would that be all right?" She emails me back. "Miss Ralphs, they won't accept it. They won't do it. Although, at this point, they're beginning to let me do whatever I want with as far as my assignments are concerned. If they give me an assignment to write an essay and I write a poem, that's fine. I can just pretty much do what I want." Right? And she became free because she became a little bit of an adult. She took full responsibility for her education. Let me give you another example. So when you go home, try this. Try this. Walk into your house, and I'm assuming most of you have mothers. Walk into your house and you say something like this. "Hey, Mom, how you doing?" "Good, son, daughter. How was the conference?" "Good, Mom. There are a few things at the conference that we discussed that I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm wondering if, at your convenience, I could schedule an appointment. It'll probably take about a half an hour, but I think it'd be really worth your time. Would that be all right?" Mom's response? Yeah, she's like passing out up front, right? Yeah, it's like jaw-dropping. "I think I have some time right now. In fact, I'm free." What, you know, she shuttles you into the living room, right? And you say, "Mom, thanks for taking the time. I wanted to bring up a couple of things. I just don't know that I've been really pulling my weight here at home, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm planning on doing a lot more. In fact, let me list a few of the things that I'd like to do to contribute to the family. And as far as education goes, I'm just not doing everything that I need to be doing. I just want to let you know I'm going to step it up if that's all right with you. Would that be okay if I took on a few more chores?" Now, I know that sounds silly, and some of you are rolling your eyes. And if you're still in child phase, if you're still being a child, then that's which is a fine thing to be. Is it good to be okay? Is it okay to be a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be a kid. But at some point, I recommend stepping up and making the decision to take full responsibilities and becoming free, and becoming an adult. And when you make that decision, that's sort of a funny thing to do, right? "Hey, Mom, I'd like to make an appointment with you. In fact, if you'd hold me accountable for all these things, I'd really appreciate it. That would be a big favor to me." Because all of a sudden, what happens in your home? When you say, "Hey, Mom, I'd like to, if it's all right with you, I'd like to go borrow the car." And now after you've had that discussion, she'd be like, "You're 13, but that's fine. You're a responsible 13-year-old, right? You go right ahead." I'm kidding. They might not say that, but you get the idea, right?
Yeah.
You become free. You become free. Now, in order for you to build a foundation, one of the steps, the first step, is you have to become an actor. You have to become the owner of your life. You have to become, to build that foundation, you have to become a little bit of an adult. Now, you can be a young adult, an inexperienced adult. That's fine. But you have to choose to be adult. Right? That's step one. Step two. So one is own it. Two, ready, is education. I have a few more minutes. Today's theme, the conference theme, is one's work may be finished someday, but one's education never. What is education? Define.
Learning.
Knowledge. I definitely think knowledge is part of education. What else?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Yeah, wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Awesome. Okay. Other definitions of education. So education would be the process of gaining wisdom, right? Are there other things you can be educated in besides wisdom?
Experience.
Experience? Good.
You can know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, but you don't know how to apply it.
Yeah. You have to know how to apply the knowledge that you have. And education is the process of accumulating that wisdom. Is that about right?
Knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is knowing how to use it.
Awesome. Good comment. What else? Any other definitions of education? It's a state of mind. What do you mean? Education can be an attribute, can it? We call it humility, I think, usually when we put it in that frame of reference. Yeah.
Learning
how to think. Good. Now, education, in order for us to be able to be educated, education is a lifelong process. We will never stop being educated. Is that right?
Yeah.
Education, another definition of education is progress or personal progress. That as we are progressing individually, that we are becoming more educated, we're gaining, we're building up our character, we're building up who we are, and the way that we do that is through, is whatever progresses us towards Godhood would be a form of education. So no matter what we do, no matter how we move through our lives, we are always being educated. Hopefully, right? For example, I finish mowing the lawn and I walk into my house. I sit down, open a soda. Do you call it soda or pop?
Soda.
Soda. I open a soda and I watch TV. Am I being educated? Like some debate. All in favor of yes, I'm being educated, raise your hand. All in favor of no, I'm not being educated, raise your hand. Like all undecided, raise your hand. Awesome. More undecided. Am I being educated?
Shh.
One at a time, raise your hands. Hannah.
You're being educated, but not in a good way.
So I am learning. Yeah.
You're walking in the ways of stupidity.
Here's the thing. Constantly, we are building who we are. We're either building who we are or we're tearing ourselves down. One of the two. Right? Building who we are is education. Right? And so if I walk in, turn on the television, I'm watching something good. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible that I'm building myself?
Yeah.
Yes. And in that case, I'm being educated. And so our goal, in case you didn't know, My goal is to become as God-like as possible. And in order for me to do that, like, and some of you will hear me and some of you won't on this, but for those who can hear me right now, when we are moving towards Godhood, and I know some of you hear me, some of you are like, not quite hearing me, but when we're moving towards Godhood, that is our life. Our life is to become. It is to grow. It is to become a being. You know, there's doing and then there's being. And our goal is to be a being. Is to be involved in being. Right? Our entire lives will be about education. Like I said, the big dream will be the same for all of us. And the path to get there will be different. But we'll all have that same big dream, I hope. And when we have that big dream, if that's our true desire deep down, then we will constantly be being educated. That every day, in every situation, we will be building ourselves towards goodness, towards Godhood. Right? I have just a couple of more minutes, and then I'll be done. I'd like to close by sharing a story. Is that okay? Yeah, good job. That just cracks me up. I love that. How many of you have any of you studied the life of Gandhi? A little bit? Have you read his book, his biography, his autobiography? It's a really good book. By the way, write that down. If you want to read a great book, it's called My Experiments with Truth. And it's a great book. It's called My Experiments with Truth. It's by Mahatma Gandhi. The story I'd like to close with is the story of Gandhi. Now, Gandhi was someone... Good job. Gandhi was a person who lived the principle of big dreams and building foundations under those dreams. What was Gandhi's big dream? One of Gandhi's big dreams was to give native rule to India and to the native Indians. Now, at one point in Gandhi's story, he'd been moving through his life, and as you learn about who he is, he had built this powerful foundation. He had become a powerful, powerful person. So here at the crux of the conflict between himself and the British, he stands in a courtroom, probably not much bigger than this room. He stands in the courtroom, and there he stands. And as you know, towards the end of his life, Gandhi dressed the poorest that he could. And so he probably just had a loincloth, maybe a robe or a sash that he wore, maybe a cane or a staff. And there he stands in this high British court to be tried for inciting a riot. The judge walks in, sees Gandhi standing there, understands the political climate that's involved around this figure. Says he reads Gandhi the charge, and he knows. Imagine if you're the judge. He knows that if he puts Gandhi in prison, the whole country will go ablaze in riot and frustration. So he looks at Gandhi in the eyes and he says, "Gandhi, I understand the charge. And I think that you're guilty of the charge. But Gandhi, if it's all right with you, I think we're going to let you off this time." Gandhi's response: "Thank you, sir, for that offer. But I've been trained in law, and I know the law of India. I have violated the law. Because of my violation of the law, I deserve the following punishment: imprisonment." And he gave the term. "I'm afraid you don't have a choice, sir. You have to imprison me. You have to imprison me. In fact, I won't take any other decision." The judge says, No, I don't think you understand. We don't want to imprison you." Gandhi says, "I believe you have to. You either have to," he said finally, "you either have to put me in prison or change the law. I don't think that you have any other choice." Now, if you can imagine this small man dressed in poverty standing in front of the high British court, and because of his education, because of who he was and the size of his dream, you know that British court and no man in Britain could stop him. He was unflappable as he stood in front of the force of the world. A little man making a big difference. someday I can see us gathered again together. Can we do that? Let's arrange a 30-year reunion.
That's
29. 29 now. Last year we decided on a 30-year reunion, right?
In the gym.
And I want that. For those who were here last year, those who weren't, I'd love to see us get together because I see big things here. I see big dreams. And I believe that someday when we get back together, it will kind of be like that. It'll be like, Randy, hey, congratulations on that whole curing thing that you did. That was really neat, right? Hey, read your book the other day, Micah. That was, really good. That was excellent, right? And whatever the dream is, the potential is here. And if we build a foundation under that potential, we'll do great things. Can we do that?
Yes.
Everyone who wants to attend, just kind of nod and we'll. Kidding. All right. You guys, tonight we're going to be meeting. You're going to get to know Adam Hailstone in a minute. He's a good friend of mine Never mind. I won't tell too many stories about him. He's a really good guy though. And tonight we're going to be meeting. I don't know where we're meeting for the question and answer. Is that what they've called it?
Yes.
Where are we meeting? Do we know where?
It's in this room.
Now, here's who I want to come to that thing. I don't want anyone there who doesn't want to be there. I don't want anyone to like talk their friends into coming. I just want people who want to come talk and come learn and come think together. There isn't necessarily a assigned topic, but we just want to have a chance to get to know you better and talk about big dreams. And so please don't come. Please don't come if you don't want to be there. Like, please don't let any of your friends talk you into it or whatever. Last time we did it sort of impromptu. Who's in that session? Anyone here that was there? No, Sarah was. Yeah. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We sat out on the front porch of the. Anyway, it was really neat. And so please don't come unless you really want to be there. And because if you do, we'll kick you out. And too bad, you know. Rough. All right. Hey, thank you guys, and have a great conference.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.